The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Here we go. One thing I wanted to talk about a little bit this evening was, for those of you who have heard me teach happy hour before, you know that sometimes I go through this long list, you know, the lovable being, you have goodwill, benevolence, warm-heartedness, care, respect, loving kindness, love, you know, all these things. And I'd want to pull out one of those words and just talk a little bit about it. And that is this word respect. Yeah, it's so much about how we care is by showing respect. Though if you've ever felt disrespected, and I'm sure all of us have in some situations, maybe it's a common experience, maybe it's not a common experience. All of us perhaps have our different experiences with feeling disrespected. It's an awful feeling. It's really awful. So having respect for others is just a natural way to show care and connection, whether we intend to develop a deep, meaningful relationship with this individual or they're just delivering the groceries and we just want to show some appreciation. But I also want to talk about self-respect. Because loving kindness is not only for others, but of course it's for ourselves. It's a big part of loving kindness is learning how to have some loving kindness for ourselves. And from that, loving kindness from ourselves, it helps us to respect others. And wow, so much of the difficulties that we're having today, the injustices, and partly my interpretation, there's lots of different interpretations, but one of my interpretations for Black Lives Matter is part of it is show us some respect. Of course. So this respect is a big part of our meditation practice, our loving kindness practice, as well as some of the, what's happening in society right now is. So part of this is to have some self-respect, which helps us to kind of love ourselves more fully instead of having those parts of ourselves that we feel like we want to excise, we want to get rid of, and I'd be okay as long as I didn't have that other little bit that I'm trying to keep secret or ignore and hope nobody notices. And then all of us, I'm sure, have this recognition that behaving poorly, there's lots of different ways we can talk about that, but erodes our self-respect. And not behaving poorly, behaving either in a neutral way or in an office, you know, in a really helpful to behave in a way which is supportive, compassionate, caring, wise, really supports a sense of self-respect. So this recognition that if somehow we harm others, we end up harming ourselves, partly because our self-respect gets diminished. I don't think anybody wants to be a person that that really is harming others intentionally. Maybe there are some people who do, but this idea of not wanting to harm others in our usual way in which we move around the world, move about in our world. And this terrible feeling when we realize, oh my goodness, we've been harming others unknowingly. Hopefully not knowingly, but when we realize, it's a terrible feeling. And it does maybe affect our little bit of our self-respect. But also, if we harm others, There's some quality of sensitivity or some quality of awareness that has shut down for us in order for us to objectify others. And we need to objectify others in order to harm them. So this quality of sensitivity or awareness is shut down. We don't have access to, or not tapped into, or turned off, turned away from. Which results in a certain amount of numbing. And this numbing kind of like is so hard. It's hard to turn off. It's hard to like become a sensitive and then numb and then sensitive and then numb, right? It's usually kind of maybe a slippery slope where we are numbing ourselves or becoming less sensitive to ourselves just a little bit. A little bit more, a little bit more, and then we get completely disconnected from ourselves or insensitive to ourselves and to others. And it's more likely we can harm them. And then more likely that maybe we lose some of our self-respect, and then we want to, that's painful, and then we want to desensitize or numb ourselves. And also to harm others unknowingly or knowingly, especially knowingly, but it requires a certain amount of not seeing. I've kind of like, I'm going like this, kind of putting my hands up next to my eyes, a way of having blinders on. In some ways, also just like being numb is hard to shake off. Putting blinders on are hard to take off. So a big part of this loving kindness practice and meditation practice in general, I would say, but loving kindness practice is to help us to shake off the indifference and take off the blinders and to increase our self-respect. And from that, so we can respect others and so that we can hold some of the pain, hold some of the extreme uncomfortableness. I don't know which word to use, pain, of how we've harmed others, perhaps unknowingly, and how we've harmed ourselves, perhaps unknowingly. So loving kindness practice is about softening and opening and making space for our experience, as well as cultivating and developing that capacity that we all have, this natural capacity to be warm-hearted, this natural capacity to care, this natural capacity to have respect for others and for ourselves. It's quite something how so many different aspects of our lives, or anybody's life, are intertwined, and how cultivating and developing this one area, loving kindness, can bleed out and affect so many different areas of our lives, our personal life, the way that we think about ourselves, the way we experience ourselves, the way that we interpret what's happening for ourselves. That affects how we are with others. And then how we are with others affects our small community, the ones that we interact with directly. And then, of course, that affects other people. So in this way, loving kindness practice, behaving in a way that supports others, respects others, and respects ourselves, allows us to have self-respect, can be really powerful. And this is, in my view, what the world needs. Some respect and some care. So with that as a introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture, a posture that expresses some self-respect, that expresses some care, as well as some ease and softness and openness. You can take your time to find a posture that feels like the right one for you right now. And recognize that if you need to, you can shift your posture during meditation practice, especially when we're cultivating loving kindness. There's no need to really struggle or with the physical discomfort. And let's begin by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. Just arrive here. Yeah, here we are. And then allowing the breath to return to normal. Maybe to kind of tune into what's happening in our felt experience right now. Can do a little bit of a body scan. Checking in with I like to start at the top. So checking in with the face, the eyes, the mouth, and the neck, maybe. Could move the head a little bit. See if there might be a little bit more ease available. Letting the shoulders be away from the ears. Checking in with the upper back and the lower back. And the chest. With loving kindness practice, we often check in with the chest, this idea of the heart center. I don't know if it's literal or imaginary, but sometimes there can be more of a feeling of spaciousness or warmth in the chest with loving kindness practice. So it can be helpful to develop a little bit of sensitivity to this area. And allowing that area to support us. And the belly, another place we often hold tension. Feeling the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. The upper legs, the lower legs. And our feet. Another place we can feel grounded and connected. Upper arms, lower arms, and our hands. Our hands are marvelous things. What does it feel like to have a hand? And then we can bring our awareness to the sensations of breathing. Feeling the movement of the chest or the belly. Maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. And we'll just hang out here for a little bit. If you find yourself lost in thought, just very simply, gently begin again. Not so much thinking about the breath, but more feeling it from the inside, the sensations that are associated with breathing. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just hanging out here with the sensations of breathing as a way to help the mind settle, get collected. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, somebody or maybe some creature for whom it's easy, uncomplicated, straightforward to feel, whether it's respect or care, warmth, goodwill, appreciation, love, kindness. Some people imagine puppies or babies or kittens or any other creature that is endearing and softens the heart. Some people choose somebody in their life they have a relationship with whom they love dearly in an uncomplicated way. Some people choose people that they don't have a relationship with necessarily, but somebody who's really supported them, helped them, maybe an exemplar, maybe a teacher, maybe a leader, a coach, maybe. So bring this lovable being to mind. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, we'll tap into the sense of goodwill or warm-heartedness we have for this being. And repeat the phrases. There's nothing particularly magical about these phrases. You're welcome to use different words that perhaps are more resonant. But we can use the phrases to just be reminding ourselves that we're cultivating loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might check in with the body and see if there are any feelings of warmth or care, spaciousness, ease, maybe a certain amount of uprightness, knowing that what you're doing right now is wholesome and helpful. And then to build on this loving kindness, to extend or include, expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. The world would be a much better place if all of us had care and respect for ourselves. And we can stand up with courage and not harm others. So you can bring to mind either a felt sense of what it's like to be here now, or an image of yourself. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. I had a little bit of a different experience than you guys. I muted myself when there was a lot of sound outside. And then I forgot to unmute myself. So I guided myself through part of the meditation while you guys were just hearing silence. It's nice. Yeah, so this idea of the connection, right, between loving kindness and respect and harm. This is really rich. This is such a great area for exploration and self-respect. What are the things that help us have self-respect and to care about others? So to care about ourselves so that we can care about others. So it can be really helpful to break up into small groups and just to talk with a few other people. Some people perhaps just want to connect with others, but it can also be helpful to, maybe you have some wisdom about this, the connection between respect, self-respect, and harm, and care. This is kind of a big question, and we only have a few minutes, but I'd like to put you into small groups. And maybe say one thing about some of these ideas of the maybe to make it simple, it can just be between that relationship between respect and care, or maybe respect and harm. It's obvious, like we don't respect people if we harm them, or it's harmful to not respect them, right? There's that too. But maybe there's something a little bit deeper or more meaningful to explore. Or you can just talk about that meditation experience for you guys. There was a longer duration of silence. And what was that like, for example? Or there's a number of different things you can explore. So for this for the breakout rooms, put you into groups of three or four. And how about the person who has the longest hair goes first, and the person with the shortest hair goes last. So that can help kind of figure out what the circle is and who will begin. So let's see here. We'll meet for 11 minutes. So that's just a few minutes each. And there's no need to say everything you know on this topic. Maybe just say one sentence, one word, and then it can go around to the second person. Then it can go around to the third. And then it can come back around. And then when you've heard these other people's ideas and what they had to offer, you might be reminded of something else and can build on this. So in this way, kind of collectively to come up ideas or to flesh. Okay, so have fun.